Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo kick off earnings season.
Bitcoin hits another record ahead of a listing for Coinbase.
The White House says the vaccine rollout remains on track despite Johnson & Johnson's setback.
And new details emerge about January's attack on the Capitol.
The Minneapolis area police officer who fatally shot a black man resigns as unrest continues. Plus, the defense presents its case in Derek Chauvin's trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stasher in sports. The Mets with a double-header sweep of the Phillies. Yankees lost to the Blue Jays. Rangers shut out the Devils. The Nets won by 30.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moskow, and U.S. futures are treading water this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures little changed. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany little changed as well. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32, 1.63% is the yield. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.7%, up $1.05 at $61.23 a barrel, and COMEX gold is down 0.25%. Nathan.
Karen, the curtain rises on first quarter earnings season this morning with results from three of the biggest U.S. banks. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
J.P. Morgan Chase will open its books along with Wells Fargo and Goldman Sachs. All in, profits are expected to soar as they release reserves, with loan losses still close to a record low. Higher investment banking fees will help as well. But it won't all be rosy. Weak loan growth, if there's any growth at all, may weigh on first quarter results. Loan holdings by the 25 biggest U.S. banks fell 8% this year through March, according to the Federal Reserve. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. Bitcoin is trading at another record this morning. It's above 64,000 ahead of the NASDAQ listing of Coinbase today. The cryptocurrency exchange is likely to have a valuation of around $100 billion. Eric Lamb covers the crypto space for Bloomberg News.
With this listing, we don't know how it's going to perform in its first day, but there is some belief within the industry that you might have some investors who have maybe previously still been on the fence about buying into cryptocurrency-linked stocks, and seeing this now as another sign of confidence or another reason for confidence to get into that aspect of the market.
Bloomberg's Eric Lamb says Coinbase plans to trade under the ticker COIN or COIN. Analysts say the listing is likely to add to Bitcoin's rally.
Reaction still pouring in this morning to the decision to pause the rollout of Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. The CDC will convene a meeting today of its advisory committee on immunization practices. They want to review cases of blood clots and assess their potential significance.
I think this is an unusual occurrence of a serious adverse event that you want to make sure before you go forward, you investigate it thoroughly. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're pausing so that they can look at it more carefully.
Dr. Anthony Fauci saying at a White House briefing that science is driving the pause on the J&J vaccine. And in a statement, J&J says no clear causal relationship has been established between these rare events and the vaccine. Meanwhile, Fauci and White House coronavirus response coordinator Jeffrey Zients say there are still enough shots available to inoculate all Americans. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Despite the news on J&J, there's encouraging word on Moderna's shot. According to the company's final stage trial, Moderna's vaccine remained more than 90% effective after 6 months.
Well, let's turn to Washington now, where new details are emerging about the January attack on the Capitol. A blistering new internal report by Capitol Police describes missteps and warnings ignored. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The watchdog report released internally last month, obtained by the Associated Press ahead of tomorrow's congressional hearing, includes a detailed timeline of the day and how officials disagreed on whether National Guard forces were needed, with the Army Staff Secretary saying they didn't like the optics of troops at the Capitol. The Inspector General noted old equipment, lack of training, and no current procedures for the department's civil disturbance unit, which exists to ensure that Congress isn't disrupted by civil unrest. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Amy, thank you. Another issue in Washington concerns the president's push for infrastructure spending. It looks like the so-called SALT tax deductions may become a very big issue in the economic recovery bill, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
This covers deductions from mortgage interest, property tax, DMV fees. It was ripped away by Donald Trump and very much affects the bigger states with higher fees. So 17 New York Democrats now have told House Speaker Nancy Pelosi the economic recovery bill will not receive their support unless the SALT deductions are fully restored. Lacking these 17 votes, Pelosi could be forced to broker a deal not only with Republicans, but with her own party. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. Coming up today, eyes and ears will be focused on the Economic Club of Washington. That's where Bloomberg's David Rubenstein speaks with Federal Reserve Chairman Jay Powell. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has more.
The Fed chair is upbeat on the economy's prospects in the aftermath of last year's record plunge. Powell told the CBS show 60 Minutes that Fed officials see economic growth and employment improving as COVID-19 infections slow. Taking a page from Dr. Fauci's playbook, America's top central banker is also urging people to socially distance and wear masks. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. You can listen to Fed Chair Jay Powell's conversation with David Rubenstein coming up on Bloomberg Radio and Television at noon Wall Street time.
Turning to corporate news now, sources tell us Credit Suisse has sold about $2 billion of stocks tied to the implosion of Archegos Capital Management. That's on top of shares sold last month when the firm became the center of one of the biggest margin calls of all time. The blow-up will cost Credit Suisse and other banks about $10 billion in losses.
And a so-called fat finger is being blamed for a drop of 10% in Barclays shares this morning. Two trades totaling about 48,000 shares were executed at a level about 10% below their opening price. The shares quickly recovered after a five-minute trading halt.
And oil gaining this morning as the International Energy Agency boosts its forecast for global demand. The IEA said the lingering glut in supplies is clearing and the world is on track to recover about two-thirds of the demand lost last year. NYMEX crude oil at $61.22 a barrel. This is Bloomberg.
It is now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Minnesota officials say about 60 people were arrested after a third night of unrest in Brooklyn Center following the fatal police shooting of an unarmed black man during a traffic stop. Assistant Commissioner of Minnesota Public Safety, Brooker Hodges, displayed on a table some of the objects he said were thrown at police officers.
There were those that decided to come out and throw bricks, a light here, alcohol bottles, cans, and other items at law enforcement officers.
Assistant Commissioner Hodges. Kim Potter, the officer who authorities say mistakenly deployed her handgun instead of her taser and killed 20-year-old Dante Wright, resigned along with the city's police chief. Potter will find out today if she will be charged. Brooklyn Center Mayor Mike Elliott says he's appointed two members of the police department to interim leadership roles.
We want to send the message to the community that we're taking the situation very seriously.
Mayor Elliott went on to say ultimately people want justice. The defense began to present its case in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Use of force expert Barry Broad testified for the defense.
I felt that Derek Chauvin was justified and was acting with objective reasonableness following Minneapolis Police Department policy and current standards of law enforcement and his interactions with Mr. Floyd.
At one point, Broad suggested that if George Floyd was being compliant, he would have had both hands in the small of his back and just be resting comfortably. That prompted an incredulous response from the prosecutor, who said Floyd was moving because he was struggling to breathe by shoving his shoulder into the pavement. President Joe Biden will withdraw U.S. troops from Afghanistan. According to people familiar with the plan, the withdrawal will be by September 11th, the 20th anniversary of the terrorist attacks that precipitated the American invasion that ousted the country's Taliban leadership. President Biden, seeking to overcome Republican criticism of his infrastructure plan, gained a new advocate with Senate confirmation of New York policy veteran Polly Trottenberg to the number two spot at the Transportation Department. Democrats lauded her support of the long-delayed Gateway Rail project to alleviate congestion between New York and New Jersey. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Just about 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashire.
Good morning, Nathan. The Yankees this past winter decided to take chances on a couple of pitchers coming back from injuries. So far, Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon have both made two starts. Neither has won a game. Neither has been able to finish the fifth inning. Taillon went last night in Dunedin, Florida. Gave up 5 runs on 8 hits. The Blue Jays led 6-0. The Yanks did get the tying run to the plate in the eighth inning, but they lost 7-3 to drop back under 500. Now we'll see how Kluber does this afternoon. Mets with a Citi Field doubleheader sweep of the Phillies. The games were 7 innings, so the opener went 8. Mets fell behind, but then scored twice in the 8th and won 4-3. And then Marcus Stroman hurled 6 scoreless innings in a 4-0 win with Brandon Nimmo providing the offense. 3 hits, 3 RBIs. Quirk in the NHL schedule. Rangers and Devils playing 4 straight games against each other. In Newark, the first career shutout for Igor Shesterkin. The Rangers won 3-0. Pavel Buchnevich with his 16th goal of the year. Mika Zibanejad got his 15th, and Artemi Panarin his 13th. The same two teams will play tomorrow at the Garden. Big game tonight for the Nets in Philadelphia. Both teams with identical 37-17 records. They're tied for first in the East. Brooklyn won a rare Tuesday afternoon game in Minnesota, 127-97, with Kevin Durant going for 31 points on 11 of 15 shooting. Joe Harris added 23. They got the game in before the curfew in place in Minnesota. Knicks are in New Orleans tonight. Jamal Murray, who averaged 27 points a game for Denver in their run to the West Finals last year, has suffered a season-ending knee injury. Free agent running back James Conner leaving Pittsburgh. He signed with Arizona. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, Major League Soccer has just landed a major new sponsor. Procter & Gamble says it has signed what it's calling a landmark deal with the country's fastest-growing sports league. P&G isn't disclosing terms, but CNBC reports it's worth $80 to $100 million. S&P futures up 3, Dow futures down 9 points, NASDAQ futures up 18. This is Bloomberg. It's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this flash brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com. U.S. futures are little changed this morning as traders turn their attention to earnings reports from companies including J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3.5 points, Dow futures down 2, NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.6%, up 96 cents at $61.14 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2% or $3.20 at $17.44.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1956 against the dollar, British pound 1.3776, and the yen's at 108.99, and Bitcoin is at $64,019. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A white Minnesota police officer who fatally shot a black man during a traffic stop in a Minneapolis suburb has resigned, and so has the city's police chief. Officer Kim Potter will find out if she will be charged today. There was a third night of unrest after Dante Wright was shot in Brooklyn Center on Sunday. The prosecution rested in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. The defense called its first witnesses, including a use of force expert, who said Chauvin was justified in using the force he did against George Floyd. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won along with the Red Sox and Athletics. The Orioles split a doubleheader. The Nationals lost. The Giants won. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers blanked the Devils 3-0. Also, the Bruins and Capitals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's almost 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we want to turn to the pandemic now. New questions around the global vaccine rollout, with the U.S. putting Johnson & Johnson's shot on pause. Andy Pekosch is back with us this morning, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor Pekosch, this news landed like a boom yesterday with the FDA putting the shot on hold with six women developing rare brain blood clots. What do you think is happening here? Is the FDA making the right move, putting the shot on pause?
Yeah, you know, I think this is absolutely the right move. To put this in context, you know, there have been over 6 million doses of the J&J vaccine administered in this country, and so we've got six of these cases. So these are serious side effects, but it's important to note how rare they are. And I think the other thing that this pause is going to be good for is to really assess the data and to put out guidance to physicians so that if they do see one of these rare events, they know exactly what they should do, medically speaking, in terms of treating these patients, because this is not a simple blood clot. This is a much more complicated clotting condition that's being presented. But I think that there's evidence out there that there's a very effective treatment strategies that can be used in these situations. So this kind of pause is great and essential to make sure that we address what's going on and have a plan going forward to deal with these very severe adverse effects.
And this is coming on top of a similar issue with AstraZeneca's vaccine. Did we learn anything from how that turned out that could inform what we learn when it comes to the Johnson & Johnson shot?
Yeah, there's a lot of commonalities in this clotting condition, as described from the patients who received the AstraZeneca and the J&J vaccine, and we're starting to hear some data from the Russian Sputnik vaccine. All three of those have the same platform, is what we call it, that's used to present the COVID-19 vaccine, and that's these attenuated adenovirus vectors, to be formal. We're seeing the same sort of rare side effects with all three of those platforms. So my guess is that there's something about that platform that a very small percentage of people is inducing this rare clotting disease.
Do we have any idea at this point what could be causing this? I know you mentioned it is rare, and it certainly is, literally one in a million. But, I mean, what could be causing this?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that a number of laboratories and clinical groups are really focusing right now. There are similar conditions that occur in people in the absence of vaccination. And so drawing on that database in comparisons to what we're seeing in the patients who are coming in with this adverse effect from the vaccination is the real important thing right now. As I mentioned before, there are some similarities to existing conditions, and so there may be treatment options to help anybody who's coming up with this. But that's really the focus right now. And I think the pause will help us get the medical community organized and informed about how to deal with these things.
In our last minute here, Professor, I know the White House has said that putting the J&J shot on hold isn't going to affect the U.S. vaccine rollout. But I think this platform that J&J and AstraZeneca use is pretty crucial for the global inoculation effort. Could this pause have an effect on that?
Yeah, both the J&J and the AstraZeneca are really important vaccines for the rollout. because they don't have the cold chain limitations that the mRNA vaccines do. As a personal example, my dad is homebound, and he's really relying on getting the J&J vaccine because that's the one that's going to be more efficient to get to people who can't go to these mass vaccination centers. So it will be important for us to deal with this because those vaccines play an important role in our rollout here in the U.S. as well as globally. So we have to make sure we get this right and understand all the risks and how to mitigate for them.
Wow, real implications for the most vulnerable populations. Thank you for this, Professor. Always great getting your insights. Andy Pekosh is with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's a professor of molecular microbiology and immunology. The Johns Hopkins School is supported by Michael Bloomberg, the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. And so far, 192 million vaccine doses have been given in this country, an average of almost 3.4 million a day. You can follow the effort on the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker at Bloomberg.com. Right now, S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures little change. NASDAQ futures up 20. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Anshin Accountants and Advisors. Complicated times call for proactive advisors who help increase cash flow, minimize taxes, and create long-term strategies for the future of your business. Visit Anshin.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
On Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin with a big day for banks. J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Wells Fargo report earnings this morning. Credit Suisse is bullish on the results. We spoke with Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Jonathan Golub.
The yield curve has become steeper, which means that's good for their profit margins. People are not defaulting on their loans. That looks absolutely brilliant. Loan demand is up as the economy reopens, and M&A activity and SPACs and all this corporate finance activity has been fantastic. So it's almost like the perfect environment.
Jonathan Golub at Credit Suisse thinks banks will be the best performing group this year. At the same time, missteps like the blow up at Archegos Capital Management are likely to play prominently in today's conference calls.
Another major story we're following, Bitcoin trading at a record ahead of the NASDAQ listing of Coinbase. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
If all goes according to plan, today's scheduled direct listing will cement Coinbase's position as the big board of the American crypto scene. David Garrity is chief market strategist at Laidlaw & Company.
Look at the valuation that you're paying for Coinbase. You know, less than $2 billion in revenue last year, $100 billion likely valuation. You know, it's pretty rich valuation anytime you see something going out at more than 50 times revenues.
The listing comes as regulators around the world are stepping up oversight and casting doubt on its usefulness as a currency. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. Right now, Bitcoin's at $63,920.
Now we turn to the pandemic and the latest on the decision to pause the rollout of Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. We get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita, good morning.
Karen, the CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices meets today. They want to review cases of blood clots and assess their potential significance.
They might modify the population who gets the vaccine depending upon what their determination is.
Dr. Anthony Fauci there saying at a White House press briefing, the J&J vaccines could resume or change. And in a statement, J&J says no clear causal relationship has been established between these rare events and the vaccine. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. S&P futures, little change this morning, up less than 3 points. Dow futures down 10, NASDAQ futures up 20, and the 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 1.63%, yield on the 2-year 0.16%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. There was a third night of demonstrations in the Minneapolis area over the death of a young black man who was fatally shot by police. It comes as a white police officer who fatally shot Dante Wright during a traffic stop in Brooklyn Center has resigned, and so has the city's police chief. Mayor Mike Elliott says the city was getting ready to fire Officer Kim Potter when she resigned.
I'm hoping that this will help bring some calm to the community. Although, I think ultimately people want justice. They want, full accountability under the law.
Mayor Elliott, as for Potter, she will find out if she will be charged today. The defense called its first witnesses in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Use of force expert Barry Broad said Chauvin was justified using force against George Floyd.
You just have to have a reasonable fear that somebody's either going to strike you, stab you, shoot you. So you try to plan to deal with the imminent threat.
Broad's statement contradicted the prosecution's testimony from high-ranking Minneapolis police officers who said that Chauvin's force was not justified. President Biden met with the Congressional Black Caucus yesterday and mentioned what's happening in Minnesota. The president described policing and quality economic opportunities.
In the midst of an ongoing trial over the killing of George Floyd, and Lord only knows what's happened based on what the verdict will or will not be there. We're in the business, all of us meeting today, to deliver some real change.
President Biden will also withdraw all American troops from Afghanistan over the next coming months. According to people familiar with the matter, the plan is to complete the exit by the 20th anniversary of the September 11th attacks that first drew the U.S. into our nation's longest war. A blistering internal report by the U.S. Capitol Police describes a multitude of missteps that left the force unprepared for the January 6th insurrection. The report obtained by the Associated Press says riot shields shattered upon impact, expired weapons couldn't be used, and an intelligence division had no set standards. It also says the Capitol Police were told not to use their most aggressive tactics ahead of the January riot, even though they had warnings of violence. The Senate is poised to debate legislation confronting the rise of hate crimes against Asian Americans. The problem has grown during the coronavirus crisis in several high-profile attacks, including in New York City. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan. Marcus Stroman was not happy Monday night. He made 9 pitches, and the game got rained out, and Stroman wondered why they started. But 24 hours later, Stroman in a much better mood. His best outing as a Met. 6 scoreless innings. Mets shut out the Phillies 4-0 to sweep the doubleheader. They had taken the opener 4-3 in extra innings. In Dunedin, Florida, the Yankees lost to the Blue Jays 7-3. Rough outing for Jameson Taillon. Knocked out in the 5th, having allowed 5 runs on 8 hits. Aaron Hicks had 3 hits for the Yankees the night after Hicks chose not to play, affected by the police shooting in Minnesota.
I just felt like it wasn't right for me to play that game. It was tough, to read that somebody just got murdered. He's a father, to his son, and he's also a son to his mother.
Hicks and the Yankees have a day game with the Blue Jays today. The Red Sox won in Minnesota. The Sox have won 7 in a row. The unrest in Minnesota prevented the Nets from playing the Timberwolves Monday night, so they played yesterday afternoon, and Brooklyn won easily 127-97. Kevin Durant scored 31. Durant didn't play for 7 weeks, but he was the only one of the Nets' big three to play yesterday. James Harden still injured. Kyrie Irving out for personal reasons. Not the first time we've seen that. We'll see if Kyrie plays tonight. Nets are in Philadelphia. It's a showdown for first place in the East. Knicks have won 3 in a row 6 times. Go for their first 4-game winning streak of the year tonight. They're in New Orleans. The Rangers in Newark blank the Devils 3-0. The first NHL shutout for Igor Shesterkin. John Stanshauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson as we await bank earnings. Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. We got 3 of the biggest U.S. banks set to report first quarter results before the open. Analysts expect to see higher earnings as the banks release loan loss reserves built during the coronavirus pandemic. Looking at JP Morgan Chase, that's one of those banks. The shares little changed early on. Earnings are poised to more than triple from a year ago when the coronavirus pandemic began. That's based on analysts' average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. They expect revenue to rise 5% on average. Goldman Sachs is up 0.75%. Trading and investment banking revenue are poised to bolster the bank's results, according to analysts. They're looking at the fastest growth in total revenue in 8.5 years, 44% increase on average. And Wells Fargo, just off 0.1% in early trading. Analysts expect to see earnings rebound from a year ago loss, even as revenue slips 1% based on average estimates.
And, of course, we're also counting down to the big Coinbase debut on the NASDAQ.
Absolutely. NASDAQ set a reference price on the cryptocurrency exchange's shares late yesterday at $250. That would give the company a market value of about $65 billion. Coinbase is carrying out NASDAQ's first ever direct listing as opposed to an initial public offering. So we'll see where that reference price is once the shares start trading. You've got Discovery. Their voting Class A shares down 4%. Their non-voting Class C down 6%. People familiar with the matter said Credit Suisse sold about $2 billion of stock tied to the Archegos Capital blowup, and both those classes were among them. Now, Credit Suisse also sold a block of Chinese streaming video service, iQIYI, and that stock's down 3.5% in early U.S. trading. Johnson & Johnson off 0.5%, lower for a second day after U.S. regulators put its COVID-19 vaccine on pause. We're seeing some other vaccine developers higher in early trading. Moderna up 1.5%, CureVac up 5%. Atlassian's up 2%. The business software maker reported preliminary third quarter revenue that beat its January forecast, as well as analyst estimates. Atlassian said a profit margin also surpassed its projections. Nickel is up 5%. The electric truck developer reached a deal to work with the CNH industrial unit, Iveco, and with European pipeline owner OGE on a supply network for hydrogen fueling stations. And one more for you, Nathan.
Okay.
Stitch Fix down 2%. Founder Katrina Lake is stepping down as the personal styling site CEO on August 1st. She'll be succeeded by President Elizabeth Spaulding, a former Bain & Company executive.
Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, know you're going to be very busy throughout the day as we await those J.P. Morgan earnings coming out in just a few minutes. Ahead of that, looking at stocks as a whole, S&P futures up 4, Dow futures down 3 points, NASDAQ futures up almost 25 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let them help protect you, your family, and your business.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, watching earnings from J.P. Morgan crossing the Bloomberg. First quarter adjusted revenue beating analyst estimate, and investment banking revenue also beating. And we're going to go now to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are quiet right now, with Dow futures up 2 points, S&P's gained 4, NASDAQ futures are higher by 22. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.63%. Gold is down 2%, and Bitcoin is at 64,000 ahead of the Coinbase listing. Hong Kong rose 1.4% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, import and export price index, and at 2 o'clock, the Fed releases its beige book. Regarding those earnings, look for Goldman Sachs and Wells Fargo to also report before the open. And in other news, SAP lifted the low end of its full-year forecast for cloud sales. Wrapping things up, JetBlue raised overweight at J.P. Morgan, and Exxon was raised to market perform at Raymond James. Live from the First of the Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, about 60 people were arrested in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota last night. Police protesters clashed again following this week's fatal shooting. of 20-year-old Dante Wright. President Joe Biden will deliver his first address to a joint session of Congress on April 28th, right before his 100th day in office. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won along with the Red Sox and A's. The Orioles split a doubleheader. The Nationals lost. Giants won. NBA action. The Nets and Celtics won. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Devils 3-0. The Bruins and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Let's get more now on those earnings from J.P. Morgan as they continue to cross the Bloomberg terminal. Beats on investment banking revenue and recovery from credit losses as well. Bloomberg Global Finance correspondent Shanali Basak is back with us to break down these numbers. Shanali, what's standing out for you?
Well, those $5.2 billion in reserve releases shows you that J.P. Morgan is taking a pretty rosy view of the economy. That $5.2 billion is much more than the $2.9 that we saw in the last quarter and much more than the $800 million that analysts had expected. So here's the thing. Those are not considered core or recurring profits. So while it's a good thing, there's a question about what's going to fuel the fire for J.P. Morgan in the next couple of months.
Oh, it looks like J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon is seeing potentially a lot of fuel for the fire going forward. He's saying home lending originations are very strong. He's also saying consumer spending has returned to the pre-pandemic level. He's continuing to put out this rosy picture for economic growth.
But he said that home lending is expected to slow with the recent rise in interest rates. And he also said loan demand is still challenged. Remember, J.P. Morgan just a couple months ago had lowered its net interest income expectations. And so, you know, they did beat. They beat on revenue. They beat on income. This is their best. This is their record first quarter in profit. However, you know, the question is what happens from here?
And as we continue to watch the stock this morning in the pre-market down more than 1%, we're also hearing from Jamie Dimon saying something else that I think we may have been expecting. Loan demand remains challenged.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You have to go right to that line, right? Because if you look at a lot of the investment banking figures, the volatility was amazing in the first quarter. It's come down quite a bit. So the recurring trading revenues are also a question on top of these recurring revenues from loans.
So in our last minute here, Shanali, what are you going to be listening for? What do you want to ask at the call later on this morning?
What is a normalized profitability now that we're out of this pandemic?
Bloomberg's Shanali Basak, global finance correspondent, with us this morning as we continue to watch earnings cross the Bloomberg terminal from J.P. Morgan and the stock continuing to fall in the pre-market right now, down 1.8% for J.P. Morgan. Now let's check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden preparing for his first joint address to Congress, a new timetable for pulling U.S. troops from Afghanistan, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce urging the Senate to reject the House-passed voting rights bill. Also making news, a scathing Inspector General's report on the January 6th Capitol riot. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins me now. And Emily, it looks as though U.S. Capitol Police are really bearing some huge criticism in this IG's report obtained by the New York Times.
Yeah, so this IG's report that sort of looked at the Capitol riot from January 6th really does blame the police for not being ready to the full extent that they could, for not really doing everything they could to make sure that they were ready and prepared. I mean, remember, there are sort of different stages of how ready police can be for a certain event. We've seen things in D.C., like during the Black Lives Matter protests, a really high level of security across the city. And that wasn't there on January 6th, and that's something that a lot of individuals have noted when sort of discussing what happened during the day. And you did sort of see this, the same finding come out from the Inspector General, that basically the police were not in their most aggressive stance to prepare for any potential attacks. And that could have contributed to the fact that these rioters were able to breach the Capitol, get inside, and in some cases get very, very close to lawmakers.
And we're expecting this is going to be the subject of a hearing as well. What's expected there?
So we're excited. I think a sort of good thing to point out right now is that it's going to be a subject of a hearing, but this is certainly not the first hearing to happen on January 6th, nor will it be the last hearing. This is part of a larger series of hearings that are being done in both the House and the Senate, trying to figure out what happened in January 6th and frankly, what Congress needs to do to prevent something like this from happening again. And so that's something that's being looked into at this point. There's also been discussions of a potential commission to look into the riots similar to 9/11. However, there's been bipartisan concerns around that one. The plan that Democrat House leaders put forward, Republicans are not happy with. And so we haven't seen a lot of movement there yet. It appears that in the future, congressional committees will be the ones to continue poking into and investigating this.
And keeping the focus on the Capitol, President Biden is making plans to be back there at the end of this month for his first joint session of Congress, coming just ahead of his 100th day in office.
Absolutely. And for listeners who are like, what's the joint session of Congress? It's the State of the Union, but we don't call it that the first time that the president gives the speech, because the idea is that you just became president. How can you give us the State of the Union? And so, yes, President Biden is expected to give that on April 28th. It's a little bit later than we've seen some other presidents give this address, but you have to consider that there has been so much that has happened in these last 4 months. I mean, we just mentioned the riots. Biden passing that $1.9 trillion bill. If you think about the timing, too, I mean, remember, it's Speaker Nancy Pelosi who sort of made the offer to the Biden administration. So it's Democrats really control the process here. They're putting this right before Biden's first 100 days in office. It gives him the chance to really talk to Americans, not only about what he would like to do with that upcoming infrastructure package, but also really be able to talk a lot about what he has done, because in those 4 months, he's been able to do quite a bit.
And we've got that address coming up 2 weeks from tonight. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you. As always, you can read much more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
All right, Nathan, it's 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, partnering with Israel's Ben-Gurion University to do cutting-edge work in cybersecurity and environmental engineering. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. While most Americans have weathered the pandemic financially, about 38 million say they are worse off now than before the outbreak began in the U.S. According to a new poll from the Associated Press, 55% of Americans say their financial circumstances are about the same now as a year ago, and 30% say their finances have improved, but 15% say they are worse off. Apple's first product unveiling of 2021 will take place in less than a week from now. The event will be online and streamed via Apple's website. Apple plans to unveil a new iPad Pro line as early as this month. The company has also been working on several other products, including an accessory dubbed AirTags for tracking physical devices and new iMac desktops. And New Yorkers looking to grab a burrito without speaking to anyone have a new option. Taco Bell has opened its first digital-only restaurant in Times Square. The location will replace traditional menus with self-serve kiosks and feature order-ahead pickup cubbies, allowing customers to walk in, grab their food, and go. The new digital location has been in the works since 2019, with its construction schedule slowed during the peak of the pandemic. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. We continue to watch shares of JPMorgan Chase down 1.7% right now. It did beat estimates in the earnings report that was just out this morning, but Jamie Dimon says loan demand remains challenged, and we'll continue to watch those shares throughout the morning. They'll also have much more coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. S&P futures, it'll changed up a point. Dow futures down 28. NASDAQ futures up 20, and the 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.63%. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.